Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, my very first guest is going to talk about, are you ready for this? Coaching. Yes. You had a coach when you were in school. It worked, didn't it? I took so much away from my coach, I don't even know how to say it. Still, every day, at my age, I think of my coach. And you know what? He passed away a few years ago. I was very sad. But coaching, so important. As young people, we accepted it with open arms because we knew we needed it. And the older we get more stubborn and more bitter. And you know what? I'm here to tell you today, you probably need a coach. So we're going to talk to Ethan Willis about it. He's co-founder of Growth.com, Growth.com. He's also going to talk about humility, the hidden ingredient of entrepreneurial success. Ethan, I got to see you on stage at the Growth Summit here. I went there for one wild day, and I sat there and smiled till my face got sore from smiling. I thoroughly enjoyed what I saw. I got to tell you, it was awesome.
Well, it's a great event. I mean, hearing you speak, we should have had you up there, Alan. You could have got up and rocked the stage.
Well, you know what? That's what I enjoyed about the whole thing is that everybody up there was authentic. Everybody up there was fired up. Everybody up there had something great to offer. And that's what this show is about. I got to bring it to the table. I got to bring it to the masses. We got to share it out to the world. We all, as human beings, we need to surround ourselves with movers and shakers and people that believe in honor and integrity and humility and have those be the pillars of their life. Their faith has got to be important to them, their family, and being fired up all the time and ready to go. I mean, I want to put myself around people that are going to help me not only in my business, but in my life. And also when I go out and play, when I go fishing, or when I want to go to a football or a baseball game or go surfing or whatever the heck we do. I mean, we need to surround ourselves. You become the collective soul of the five people you spend the most time with. And that's the kind of stuff you guys teach at Growth, at the Growth Summit. And I have yet to even go to your website, growth.com. I tell everybody, probably ought to go there. I'm going there as soon as we hang up. But I saw it in real life.
Well, yeah, the energy there was just awesome, and you saw the speakers that came, and really the intention and the idea of the Growth Summit is bring together some awesome people that kind of in themselves are like, you know what, there's another level for me. I want to kind of have a breakthrough from where I am. I believe that my goals, my dreams, my aspirations are possible, and you get a group of people like that that are positive. Many of them have had great success in their life. And then you fill this room with 1,500 plus people, and it's just, you saw the event. We got complaints because some of the ceiling dust was falling down. And some of the maintenance guys were like, hey, you know, you guys need to tone it down over there. But we brought in, as you saw, you know, the idea is to bring in speakers that can touch, you know, different people at different times. You know, everyone speaks at a different frequency, but you bring in like a Brendon Burchard, who's my partner in Growth.com, who just brings this high level of energy and kind of challenges you to saying, okay, what is the next thing for you? And then you bring in a Dean Graziosi, who's master of persuasion and gets you thinking about, wow, if you're not really persuading people to get your product or your service, then you're not really making a difference with your mission and perhaps even what they could do and the tools they could have for their mission. And Les Brown, you saw Les Brown in the house that was there.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And he was awesome. Rachel Hollis, who's one of the fastest growing Instagram kind of lifestyle bloggers that are growing.
Is that the little girl that she was like 5'2" and she was like a ball of fire? I mean, that was crazy. That little gal got up there and had that entire group of people dancing and jumping up and down. I was laughing my tail off up there because it's like when you have a command of the stage because people want to hear what you have to say and you have something that is touching their soul at that level, because it's like this stuff should not be that difficult. Life should not be that difficult. We make our lives difficult by the fact that I think so much gets downloaded into us as children, and we grow up thinking and believing things that we have no idea if it's the truth or not until one day we have the aha moment and we wake up and go, God, I've been living a really stupid life. I got to wake up.
Yes.
And then you start searching, right?
Yeah.
I love it, man.
That's exactly right. And I think that's one of the reasons that Rachel had such an impact. I mean, she sold her book, Girl, Wash Your Face, is now a number one New York Times bestselling book. And one of the reasons, I think, Alan, as you saw her there, is she came out, and when she came on stage, she didn't come out with, hey, I know everything, you don't know anything, listen to me. That's like 1980, right? That's 1890s speakers, right? Right? Her whole thing was, you know, hey, the ladies in the house, you know, had them raise their hand and said, hey, you know, she talked to them about what it's like to go through pregnancy and what it's like to be after pregnancy and, you know, all the things that, you know, women do to wear these mesh underwear, all these things that these ladies were like shouting back, and she's like,
the guys were all laughing, right? All right, hold tight. We're talking with Ethan Willis. He is the co-founder of Growth.com. I just was at the Growth Summit. My friend Randy Garn, who you guys hear me talking about a lot, I missed him on stage, but I have pictures of him flying through the air doing his acrobatics, which, I mean, I don't know what. This guy is the funniest guy in the world, and you and him were partners. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rise and importance of coaching. Why not? We all need it. We had it in school. Maybe we need it as adults. We'll be right back. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. We're talking about the importance and the rise of coaching with Ethan Willis. He is a number one New York Times bestselling author, The 1 Minute Entrepreneur. Also a number one Wall Street bestseller, Prosper, Create the Life You Really Want. And he's co-founder of Growth.com. Let's do this. I got to take a break again. I went a little long on the last segment, but I want to talk just real quick about the importance of coaching and what the hell is coaching is what people's probably saying right now. Give it to us.
I think the thing about coaching, most people that you ask that don't know will say, if you say, you know, Ethan, what work do you do? And I say, oh, I'm in the coaching business. They'll say, oh, so you coach Little League for a living.
Right.
What do you do? They consider it more to sports and to other types of things, which I think is the frame of reference for people. But there's a huge rise right now, which for a while has kind of been the hidden advantage of people that only really knew about it, which is hiring a coach, specifically a business coach or a life coach or a high performance coach or a coach that can give you different perspective and tools from where you are at a certain phase in your life. A lot of times we get stuck. You know, the best decisions with all of our intentions, we kind of get in a spot where we're not quite sure where the place to go is. And a coach can come in and give you some perspective on, you know, what are options that are available. Understand where you're at, help you understand what are some of the best practices of others to be able to go to the next level. And with this rise of people wanting this kind of one-on-one coaching and perspective and mentoring and guiding with someone who has been there or done that before. You and I were talking, I think, before about this Forbes article that says that the coaching industry in 2020 will grow to a $2 billion industry.
Wow. That's big. You know, if you think
it's huge.
For all of us, and there's guys like Rudy Rudiger, I mean, they made a movie about Rudy. And everybody, it's the football movie, Notre Dame, you know, he got like to play for like 28 yep. seconds or something. But the movie in itself is really about the story of perseverance and his character. And I look back at my coach. I played water polo because I grew up in Southern California near the beach, and all I wanted to do was be in the water and surf. And so my sport was water polo and swimming. And my coach gave me more principles in my life that I've taken forward. Then he taught me about how to play water polo. I mean, that was just fun, but it was the life principles of character that I walked away with. And I think that entrepreneurs, more than anybody, they need somebody to talk to every now and then, somebody to hold them accountable. Yeah. And I believe that this coaching program is something that is really going to be helpful for many entrepreneurs.
Yeah, it does. Because especially entrepreneurs, we feel like we're all alone. And as I've interviewed thousands of entrepreneurs, that's what I feel like. Sometimes they get tangled up and they're not quite sure in their own thoughts, where someone can step aside, give them some perspective on some principle that you had mentioned of what they want to be, if from integrity or character or whatever, and it holds it up to them and says, ask a question like, what would your most courageous self tell you to do right now? Some simple question that allows them to stop and to think and get them more direction where they don't feel like they have to figure it out all on their own, but there's
right.
a map.
Right, right. Well, and again, like I just told you, my wife came in and handed me a little note, says, we need money. It's like, oh, what timing? Why couldn't you wait till I got done? It's like, you know, I mean, of course, we always need money, but it's hilarious to me how, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, there's no filters. You're living your life in front of the world. And that's what I do. I mean, obviously, but we always need more money. I just went out and bought a tractor, and she's like, don't spend money on things we don't need. I need a tractor. What are you kidding? Anyway, it's hilarious. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and talk more with Ethan Willis, co-founder of Growth, growth.com. You guys can check it out. I just got back from their Growth Summit. Fantastic. I actually walked away going, I got to go to more of these things. We'll be right back. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. Now I'm a believer, not a trace of
doubt in my mind. Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I'm talking to Ethan Willis, co-founder of Growth.com, G-R-O-W-T-H.com, Growth.com, real simple. You want to grow your company? Check out Growth.com. I was just at the Growth Summit with my buddy Randy, and he introduced me to Ethan and some of the other folks that were on there, on stage there, I should say, but Ethan, in particular, very impressed with seven children, might say, a very virile man, which is nice. It's good for you, Ethan. co-authored number one New York Times bestselling book, The 1 Minute Entrepreneur. Also, Ethan is the co-author of the number one Wall Street Journal bestseller, Prosper, Create the Life You Really Want. And Ethan's books have been translated into more than 20 different languages. And he's been given a number of Entrepreneur of the Year type of awards. And he's done a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to keep reading all this stuff. But holy crap, man, you're a young guy, too. Good for you. Congratulations. Let's talk about now. Talk about humility. That's our next thing. How do you stay humble with all that said about you? Humility, the hidden ingredient of entrepreneurial success. Maybe you could riff on that for a moment.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think staying humble with five daughters is easy. You know what I'm saying? I've got five daughters in my house.
Wow.
But it's interesting because I think back on my entrepreneurial career, Alan, you probably do as well. And I think about the bonehead decisions that I've made, and there are many of them, have a lot of times come when I let my ego lead, my ego speak out. Right. It kept me back from things or made rash decisions. And so I've been on this kick to really research this. And the data is actually very clear. There's recently a study that was done from the University of Washington that said high performers and people who lead high-performing teams have one thing in common, and that is humility. So whenever they performed marks higher than the rest, is they had this trait of humility. So I've really been thinking about what this means, because sometimes humility is, you know, defined as people might think it's weakness. But in many ways, humility is the X factor of leadership. Jim Collins said that the X factor of great leaders is not personality, but humility. And humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking less about yourself. And I've realized that, you know, people say gratitude is the mother of all virtues, but really it's humility. Because if you don't have humility, recognizing that there's power greater than yourself, that there's ideas also out there that are better than yours, and that you have a lot to be grateful for, it's hard then to even be grateful and to allow some of those other virtues and traits and come into your life. And so humility, I've seen, has allowed people to make better decisions, allowed them to be able to attract the right people, allow them to be able to create sustainable companies around them, allow them to seek contribution above applause, has caused them to want to seek the compass instead of seeking comparison and trying to be a Me Too type company. And so it's a powerful, powerful virtue, I believe, and characteristic for entrepreneurial success.
I agree. And because what is the old saying, you know, pride goeth before the fall. And I think that the humility is something that is all too often forgotten about because we are so ambitious, and ambition is driven by pride, and humility doesn't exist in that world. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to get ahead. You just watch. You know, in other words, when somebody, you know, pushes you down, you fight that much harder to get back up again. But at the end of the day, when I looked at the way I used to react when somebody said, you can't do that, you're never going to do that, I was like, well, I'll show you. You know, that's not the right attitude to have, even though it works.
Yeah.
You listen, you can throw all kinds of different fuels on a fire. They will burn. But the reality is that is not the best fuel to run your life or your business by, you know, by anger and contempt and I'll get even kind of an attitude. And I've seen that before, and it's just not good. I love the humility part.
Yeah. And here's an interesting thing also, and I realized this after selling. Randy and I started our company, grew it to 600 employees, and sold it. And after I sold it, I heard advice from one of my coaches and mentors that gave me this. And he said this, he said, Ethan, the same motivation that got you out of Egypt will not take you to the promised land.
Mm.
And I was like, So there's a different level of, because I think early on as an entrepreneur and even throughout our life, it's kind of like, I'm going to do it to show everyone else or to fill this gap that's inside of me. But the real sustaining power comes from this place that says, you know what? I have a mission. I have a goal. I have something that I want to accomplish deeply inside of me. It's part of my mission and my calling. And so I'm not going to let my ego get in the way of that. And so it's an interesting, different motivation that then allows you to do bigger, greater, and more significant things.
Well, I can't agree anymore on what you're saying. That's how I felt inside of the Growth Summit, is every time somebody got on stage, including you, I was like, I could not agree any more than what they're saying. They're spot on. And that one little gal that was like 5 foot tall, I was like, it doesn't matter. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. And she was,
yes,
you know,
sir.
Not to compare her to a dog, but I mean, because gorgeous little thing. But she's this little tiny gal. And man, she was just on fire. I want to know her. I want to get her on the radio. And I want her to tell her story to this audience, because I believe that when a person taps into, we'll call it the humility, the hidden ingredient to entrepreneurial success, they become an amazing power. All right, let me take a break. I have actually more to talk to you about. I'm not letting you go. Sorry, because we didn't talk about competition versus collaboration. We're going to do that on the other side.
Yeah.
We got more to go with Ethan Willis, growth.com. That's what it's about. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Be right back. Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, one of my best friends in the whole wide world is a guy named Randy Garn. And one of his best friends in the whole wide world is a guy named Ethan Willis. And I understand now why Randy used to say, Ethan's the best dude in the whole world, man. You got to meet this guy. And I'm like, yeah. You always say that about all your best friends. You know what? He's got a lot of good friends. And man, they are all amazing. This, you and him, I mean, you guys on stage with all your friends, with Dean and Les Brown and, you know, all the people you had up there, I was like, man, I want to be friends with all those people. And that's what's cool about this. You can be. That's how you make yourself accessible. And a word that gets used too much, I think, with people these days is everybody wants to be authentic, but they really don't know how to be authentic. They don't even know what authentic is because they've never been authentic. And I think, you know, once they start kind of coming out of their shell. That's a better way of saying it, is when you come out of your shell and you start to be who you truly are, who the good Lord above meant you to be, which is a person of honor and integrity and of loving each other and loving yourself and living life the way it was meant to be. All of a sudden, man, you see colors are more vibrant and taste better and smells smell better. And you start living life to its fullest. That's really the best part of being authentic, because you're not having to be a puppet anymore to somebody else's, you know, peer pressures or whatever it is. So it was really refreshing seeing all you folks up on stage at the Growth Summit. And I want to thank you for letting me be a part of that the other day, Ethan. So,
well, Alan, I'll tell you that what you just hit on is so huge. One thing I look for in people that I work with, and even people that are on the stage, are those that can be. We talked earlier about humility, and a great trait of humility, where you see humility in people, is their vulnerability.
Yeah.
And their ability to be who they are and show up in a way that it's kind of like the man in the arena, right? The Theodore Roosevelt
yeah.
quote. And it's like, hey, you know, credit doesn't go to the man who's, you know, the critic. It's the one that's in the arena and is going after it and their true authentic self. And I just want to point out, I've seen that in you. As I hear your interviews and I hear you talk, like, you are who you are.
Yeah.
And there's a power to that, right? Because you're not feeling like you're have to be a certain way. And when we do that, when we try and fit into the way we think others want us to be, then all of a sudden we don't belong anywhere, because we don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to our mission, our calling.
Yeah.
And, brother, I see that in you.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I was with Keith Kroc the other day from DocuSign, and he told me a story about when he was 30 years old after he left General Motors. He was the youngest vice president of General Motors at 26 years old, Keith Kroc.
Mm.
And his next job, he went to work for a big company, and I think he might have named the company, but I was more amazed at what he said, is they wanted me to lie about something. And he said, at 30 years old, which is a pretty young age, he said, no, he says, I will not lie. He says, and I'm the kind of guy that goes all the way with things that I do. He says, and that's where I stepped away. He goes, I've never quit a job. He said, but I had to leave that job, because he would not give up his principles, Ethan. And that, to me, is something yeah. that is a lost cause in this world, because people don't even know what principles are anymore. They're like, it's all been downloaded. They don't know what to think, who to vote for, why they're voting or why they're not voting or why they're getting upset at one thing or another. And so I say, people, wake up, people. You got to wake up to who you really are. And I think without coaching and without, you know, a little meditation, maybe a little bit of prayer, whatever it is for you out there in the world, you've got to start searching. Because what does it say in the good book? Seek and ye shall know, right? And if you're not seeking, then you ain't going to know. So let's talk about changing the subject for a moment so I don't get too deep, because that happens and people go, shut up, Alan. Anyway.
No, I love where you're going. I just want to add one thing to that
yeah.
because one of the things we see is people don't live, they're kind of wandering generalities instead of meaningful specifics, our old buddy Zig Ziglar used to say. And when you're wandering around and you're not intentional about what you're doing and where you're going, I love this quote, it's one of my favorite ones, and it says this. It says, if you're not clear about the goals you have for yourself, then you'll be used by others who are clear about theirs.
Yes.
And there are so many messages out today and that are trying to drown to all these different things. When you're grounded, when you're connected, and when you know that, then you show up with greater opportunities in the world, because people want to collaborate with you.
Right, right. Well, speaking of that, competition versus collaboration. And, you know, I don't want our show, I never want this show to get to the point where people go, you're getting too spiritual, or you're getting too this, or your show's too businessy. I think that all these things are relative to our entire life. So every now and then, I dip off over into a little spiritual discussion, and sometimes I pull it back and we talk about coaching, and this show goes all over the place. But I think these are very, very important pillars of our lives that have such a ripple effect into our families and out into our customers, clients, and our existence on this earth together. I don't apologize, but I just let you guys know we're all on a journey together on this planet, and none of us are going to get out alive.
No, and let me say something on that too, Alan, because I think that even if the audience is saying, oh no, I'm good, I've kind of got it figured out, or I'm not really interested in that, there is a huge conversation happening with your customers, and there is a big mindfulness movement that's happening where people are trying to get connected to something. They're connected 24/7 with their cell phone, but yet they don't feel connected to something that's real.
Mm.
And that's one of the things we talk about when you talk about your pricing for your products and your services. people will pay you cents and dollars for a tactic or for a product that's going to solve something, but they'll pay you substantially amount more and over a long period of times for transformation in whatever form that is. But that's what people are looking for, is a form to be able to be more significant and have a journey and an experience that has an outcome that is something they're really thirsting for. And so big conversations happening out there.
Man, I'm telling you. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I, you know, often I wonder, you know, this show is so important to me because I'm learning. I am the student. You are the master right now. You're the teacher. I am the student. And the audience listening, I know all of you folks must be thinking the same thing. It's like, yes, this stuff makes sense. So that's why I look to bring people of insight on this show, because is it about business? Heck yeah, it's about business. Is it about life, and is it about your family? You know, how many divorces do we want to have? I have friends that have two and three of them. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been married 37 years. I want to make this one work, you know?
Right.
So I need to put myself around mentors like yourself and others that will bring, you know, a lamp unto my feet, because I walk in the dark daily like so many other people do, looking for the light, seeking for the light and for the answers. Anyway, let's talk about, in the last couple of minutes, competition versus collaboration, because we're collaborating right now.
I think it's a really big conversation right now, especially if you look at crowdsourcing and all that's happening with the different apps and websites, from Uber to, you know, all the different ones that are out there, to be able to collaborate with people instead of looking at them as your competition. Mm. And it really, my business with Randy and I, it transformed when we started collaborating. When we first started, we were offering training programs and coaching programs, and we were trying to do all the marketing and everything on our own, kind of buying meeting direct and trying to do advertising, and it worked. But when it really went to the next levels, when we said, you know what, all these people are competing with us, they're all kind of going after a similar market, but what we can do is we can bring them together and give them a unique process that we have. And that's really, Alan, where we start having all these conversations with, you know, the Stephen Coveys and the Charles Schwabs and a lot of the experts that are out there. And we started collaborating together and saying, hey, let us provide this service for you. We can then provide this data back to you. And it allowed us to, instead of being an environment where our mindset and the mindset of our employees was scarcity, it became an abundant. It's like, wow, the possibilities to collaborate with some of these people out there are endless, instead of trying to always finding a way to be able to beat them or to compete with them on a line-for-line item. And so
I love
collaboration
it.
Is a big part.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And I think it's 100% true. This is Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. And I think that if we all work together, we will survive, because at the end of the day, all I want to do is help people to have more tools in their toolboxes to do their businesses, to run their lives, to seek for what is going to truly make them happy. It isn't money, people. It is not money. I got sick the other day and I thought to myself, man, I would pay $1,000 to not feel the pain I'm feeling right now. So it's like, it's interesting how money becomes worth nothing when you have pain. And I think wisdom is really truly the one thing that we need to seek for, to be able to not have that pain in our lives and in our businesses. And that's what you guys offer, and that's what we try and do here at EntrepreneurGrowth.com. Ethan Willis, thank you, brother.
Alan, I really enjoyed it, bro. Thank you so much for all your help. You're doing a great work for the entrepreneurial community.
Thank you, man. I try, and I know we're going to be doing more. We're going to be collaborating, because we're not competition.
That's right. Well, all right, brother.
All right.
Thank you for the interview. That was awesome.
My pleasure. Growth.com, you guys. Growth.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Only the Lord could give me strength not to fall apart. Wow! I feel good. Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. I am not your normal talk show host. I'm in search of the truth, in search of better ways of doing things. Like I said, seek and ye shall find. I've been seeking and I've found something interesting worth talking about with you folks, with Dorian Johannink, and he is the co-founder and business director of Silo. Social media, all right? We all love social media, and we love to escape into it. It's entertaining. It helps to take our mind off of the crap in our life. You know, sometimes you just want to escape into what everybody else is doing. But did you know that you're being exploited without your permission. There are better platforms out there, communication applications like Silo, of which Dorian is here to talk about. Explain, let's talk about, first of all, Dorian, being exploited without permission. Maybe you could give a minute on that.
Yeah, so I guess it's something people have been slowly cottoning onto the last few years with all these high-profile data breaches and pieces lifting up the hood of what's actually happening behind your popular communication platforms. But what it really comes down to is the fact that most of the services you use today to communicate online, you're not actually talking with the person you think you are. You're talking to a company's server who's storing that information, that data, and then passing that on to the person you're communicating with. So what ends up happening essentially is that this company has free rein on that data, on your communications data, and you're not actually the customer, you're the product. You know, their customer are
Gosh, I feel like a cow now. I'm just, my head's in a stanchion, I'm being milked and I don't even know it. Right.
Yes, yes. It's quite a scary thing. And when you sit someone down and you explain to them exactly what's happening, they go, really? Are they allowed to do that? Is that right?
Right.
But it's just because it's all happening behind the scenes, it's just become commonplace, and it's how these platforms operate. And I guess a good rule of thumb is, look, if you're jumping in and you're using this service for free, and there's no costs there, you know, what are the hooks? How is this company monetizing? How are they making their money? How are they keeping their business going?
Right. Well, so I really hate that, because it should be something that they're transparent about. And it, not only are they not transparent about it, we don't even know they're doing it. We don't even know they're taking us for this ride and they're using us. Like you said, we are the product. Oh my God, it's kind of scary. Give me 30 seconds on Silo.
What we've been working on for a long time, I mean, I was heavily involved in the social media marketing space for a long time. And what I realized was just how much data they were capturing and how they were using it. I sat back and went, well, look, there must be a way to do this better. There must be a way to let people communicate online without logging and flogging all this data and all this information. You know, when we're offline, we have the option to walk into a private room, have a conversation one-on-one, and that simply didn't exist online. So we embarked on creating a solution that does not use the cloud. The cloud's probably the most common term that you hear bouncing around, these cloud-based services. But essentially, all that means is a server between my device and your device that collects everything and facilitates the transaction. We use peer-to-peer technology to remove the middleman and enable you to talk directly.
All right.
Plain and simple. And we don't collect anything we don't need.
Hold tight. I want to talk to you some more on the other side. Silo, you guys need to check it out. Scary stuff. Dorian Johannik is co-founder and CEO. I get more and more worried about social media every day. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And I'm talking to Dorian Johannik. He is the co-founder and business director of Silo. It's an app. You can find it in the App Store. Confidential voice calling, video calling, and messaging app. It's a communication app. Am I right to be a little bit afraid of social media and all? I mean, should I even give a damn? I mean, I got nothing to hide, if you know what I'm saying. I'm not doing anything weird. I don't have any weird pictures of me with animals or anything. I mean, should I care, Dorian?
From my perspective, it's an interesting one. You know, you people have that aspect where people say, you know, I have nothing to hide. But then it comes down to, you know, if that's the case, would you give your keys out to someone on the street? Or would you post the password to your email account online on a forum? It's that same concept. By sheer fact of using these services, that's what we're doing to these companies.
Wow.
And it's more a case of, it's just not the right way to do things. We've got all these amazing capabilities, but why should we have to give up our privacy for those services? And that's what we're working on. It provides those same services without the compromise.
S-Y-L-O, Silo. You can find it at the App Store, and it's worth looking into. You know, how did you get into this whole thing? And this is, you know, kind of an interesting story, I think.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time in I graduated from university when I started up my own consultancy. And what I was doing was running marketing campaigns for companies on platforms like Facebook. Through that process, I learned just how much data they were collecting on the users and how they were using that information. And it was astronomical. Started looking at that and going, well, there must be a better way to do things. There must be a better way to do things. We've got these amazing supercomputers in our pockets now. Can these devices talk direct without passing everything to these platforms along the way? And that's really what got me going on this journey, realizing it's humans behind these screens. They shouldn't be treated like products. They should be the customers of these platforms.
Man. Well, I have to say it's a noble cause. Obviously, our privacy is something that we have to cherish. And I guess we don't really think about just how vulnerable we are with our data, our information, our private, it's the DNA of our lives, of how we live them is our data. And they're just taking it from us. It's very sad.
Absolutely. And something that gives people a wake up call from time to time is if you do a data request on one of these popular social platforms, you know, you have the right to this information. They sometimes delay giving it to you, but I'd encourage everyone to do a data request on yourself on one of these major platforms, and you will be very, very surprised just how much they know about you. In fact, they can know more about you than you think you know about yourself in some cases.
How do you do that, by the way? I have no idea how to even do that.
Yeah, so you can literally just throw it in a search engine or go onto the platform and search data request, personal data request, and it'll give you instructions. They legally have to let you know how to get the information that's essentially yours.
Oh, my gosh. That's some scary stuff. How is it now? Okay, so Silo is up and running, and is there a charge to use it? How does it work?
Free application.
Free.
So jump in, have a play around with it free of charge. And we're actually releasing a new version in a couple of months with a bunch more features as well, which really takes our vision that much further.
So what is your favorite thing about Silo? What is your favorite part of it that it just keeps you getting up every day and going back to work? The part that actually makes you excited to tell people about it?
The fact that this is the right way to do things. You know, you've got an entire generation now growing up communicating digitally almost more than they do offline. And the fact that that can be done without the exploitation, without the negatives, without driving us to this dystopian Big Brother state future, that is really what drives me. It's, you know, we've got these amazing capabilities. Now we need to realize it's humans behind the screen. And this needs to be done in the right way. You know, would I be happy with my kids using these current platforms in the way they're taking and using this information? Putting something in people's hands that you can put hand on heart and go, look, this is creating and providing value, not extracting it.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to go check it out, Silo. It's in the App Store if you want more security. Dorian Johannik, thank you very much. Now I have to go and do a little more research because now I'm getting a little nervous about how much of my content is slipping out the door. I don't even know about it. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, brother. All right. That's about it for me this week on Entrepreneur Weekly. I've had too much cough medicine. So if it was a little weird, my apologies. Nah, I don't apologize. That's just me. See you next week.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.